pale horse. The man who sat on him was death. And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Declarations of War. We are your hosts, Alexei Card, Andy Astronaut.
How's it going?
And Levitain.
G'day, g'day.
Today's special guest is intrepid industrialist Steve Ronican.
Hey, folks.
As promised last episode, this show we barely do industry. Casual, I think, at best, although I think Andy's pretty into it. We are ill-equipped to talk about the massive change to industry mechanics and resource management that is coming. So we've got our friend Steve here to walk us through what is going to happen. Now, if you don't know Steve, shame on you. You should know Steve. He is the proprietor of fuzzwork.co.uk, which has a suite of what I would consider indispensable industry tools. A lot of great stuff. Ore value calculator, build calculators, all super easy to use. You can just keep adding tools to it, Steve, so I'm probably missing like more than half the stuff that you have, but I know that I use the blueprint runner whenever I'm doing an industry build of any kind, just to make sure I've got everything that I need. You can plug in the citadels, you can plug in the rigs, you can plug in the indexes to see how much it's going to cost, if it's going to be worth making it at all. So couldn't live without your site. He is also a six-time CSM member. CSM's 9 to 14, absolutely amazing. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Steve, for the audience that doesn't know you, do you want to talk a little bit about how you started up in EVE and how you got into industry and where that's taken you?
Yeah, sure. I started EVE back in 2011, so God, almost, well, it's about 10 years now. To be honest, for the vast majority of that time, I've been a solo player who's spent most of his time in HiSec. I do occasionally go elsewhere, but HiSec is where I do most of my stuff. I started doing industry using other people's tools, and they didn't work quite the way I wanted them to, and some of them were getting a bit slow at updating, so I wrote my own, and then went, meh, I may as well give everyone else access to it. And it's just kind of spiraled from there. Even the CSM stuff mostly comes from that side of things because people knew who I was because I gave tools away for free. I've got market data site stuff now, LP store stuff. I'm the main source, I believe, for the static data extracts stuff that CCP releases. I just put it into a form that people can actually use. I will admit, over the last year or so, after not being on the CSM, my playtime has reduced a little. But I think after 6 years, I deserved a little bit of a break.
I should say so.
Yeah. I haven't managed to stop playing, though. So there is that.
Well, without giving away any elite market secrets, are you able to tell the audience what you usually focus your game time on in terms of building?
Whatever's profitable at the time. It changes wildly. I won't say if it changes day to day, but it can change week to week. I'm not a huge industrialist. I know there are people who make far more than me. I've only got, nine characters that I do industry on most of the time. I've got some others, but I don't use them particularly much. I've reached the point where I have the money to do what I want, so I just keep that ticking over, rather than I must make everything all the time in the most efficient way possible. I could do that. It's a little more hassle than it's worth for me at the moment.
Yeah, only 9 characters, sure.
When you hit a certain point in the industry, multiple characters does make sense, just because if you can vertically integrate stuff, you take out the market fees, because you're not having to buy it. It's not being bought and sold from the market multiple times. If you're doing it yourself, it cuts down on that a little.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, speaking of things changing, this is a pretty big update to industry. It's been a while since we've had a really sweeping industry update like this. This is affecting the materials that go into the build blueprints of a lot of things. They're standardizing some of the blueprints. They're adding new materials to battleships and to larger ships in the capital class. The claim in the dev blog, Andy put this helpful quote in here, is that it's, quote, easier to understand and that progression is more consistent. Maybe it's more consistent. I don't think it's easier to understand, at least to the layperson.
Yeah, I do see where they're coming from with that. At the moment, industry goes, you've got T1 subcaps. Fine, you just put a bunch of minerals in the bag, shake it, and a ship falls out. Then you move up to, well, you might move up to capitals. I would say the number of people that make capitals is relatively small. And at that point, you do a couple of steps. You create the components and then you build the ship. And then you go to T2, and it's a massive step up in complexity because you add in the reactions. Then you build the you've got multiple levels of reaction, and then you build the components on top of that, bringing in other things. And you have to do the invention step as well.
Right.
The change for battleships is more changing it so it has, you miss the invention step out, but otherwise it's very similar to T2 at that stage.
Do you think is the progression from like non-battleship tech one, battleship tech one, is it then intended to be progression toward caps and then tech two, or tech two and then caps, or is it two different paths?
I would say that's two different paths. They are related, but it does, I would say, fork when you hit battleship. Some people will go T2, some people will go for capitals, just because for either one, it's a reasonably big step up in what's actually required. There's also the skills required to do this, because T1 industry before now has been, I've got Industry 5, I can do pretty much whatever I want. That's now changing. If you're below battleship, yeah, Industry 5, you can do it. Above, you will need additional skills.
So I think that's kind of the kind of key takeaway, or like the big thing that changes here is, number one, the skills that are needed. But number two, like you said, everything, even if you were doing capitals previously, right, everything was based on just minerals. It was just more minerals. You use just mineral inputs to make the cap components, and then just the cap components go into the capital builds. And if you make, you know, a carrier, it's the X amount of parts. If you make a super carrier, it's just more of the same parts, right? So I think the kind of huge change here on the input side is that now it's more like T2, like capitals, battleship and above are more like T2, where you have both, you know, like you said, reactions that you have to do to make them work, but also PI is the other thing that's been added now.
Yep. And the actual minerals and use have changed as well. The below battleship, it has cut some minerals just from the basket completely, whereas for BS and above, you need them.
Yeah, so I think maybe it's worth talking about kind of there seems like there's two different things that the patch is trying to address, right? One is the cost of battlecruiser and down, and the other is the complexity progression of industry, right?
Yeah. Like, for example, frigate, it's four minerals that go into it, like tritanium, pyrite, mexalin, and isogen. You don't need anything out of nullsec for that, I think. I think those are the low-sec minerals. It's been a while since I've done mining.
It's also been a while since I've done it as well. I usually, I kind of got to the point where I'll like buy minerals and make stuff, but I don't want to mine it myself because I'm too lazy.
Well, in terms of our audience listening, wondering, what is this going to mean for my wallet? Do we expect the spike in prices for battlecruisers to remain there? Are battleships going to be irrevocably higher than they used to be? Or will it stabilize to about where they were, just with different materials? What could people expect to see when they go to the market?
That's a very difficult question to answer. I think prices will rise for battleships, unfortunately. But I can't say that with any certainty. There is too much changing to be able to be certain about this stuff. And it is big changes. But an example is, at the moment, the Micro 7, I believe, is required for some of the battleship components. At the moment, some of that is rare and some of it isn't. But it's going to be all over the place now. but will people mine it if it's all over the place and doesn't cost the same amount? That's what's making this difficult to answer. The good thing is, at least, it will give people who do gas mining more things to go do.
Yeah, so I think the one thing we probably can say with certainty, right, is that Battlecruiser and below will likely get cheaper. And the reason for that being that although they've added new components to caps and super caps for building and battleships, what they've done is they've balanced that by reducing the mineral inputs to battleships and capitals. So really the demand for minerals will primarily be for Battlecruiser and down. And so with, unless, you know, the supply and demand of kind of normal minerals changes a lot, the minerals that you can get in high sec and low sec that primarily go into battle cruisers, cruisers, that kind of thing, are all going to be primarily used for frigates through battle cruisers now. Where before, again, it was the same thing, like just more of everything for capitals and supercaps. So I think we can say, like, it seems like the consensus from people who are talking about it is that battle cruisers and below will get cheaper. Battleships are like a wild card, maybe more expensive, but it's really not clear. And then capitals are definitely getting more expensive.
And to be honest, capitals being more expensive, the downside is it's pulling up the drawbridge after people. But capitals being more expensive is probably not a bad thing in and of itself, because people have been complaining about capital proliferation for quite a while. So it's going to be interesting. One of the other things which is more difficult to talk about at the moment with prices for how things are going to shake out is everything is being speculated on at the moment. So yeah, saying how much something is going to be is very, very difficult to do.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of this is going to take a while to shake out. But I will say that like cost has very rarely been effective at reducing proliferation in EVE. I think the real bottleneck is going to be scarcity. And we are seeing a bit of that with, I guess with mineral demand dropping a little bit, that's a nice thing. But for instance, you look at ice. Ice has become a lot more scarce, and fuel blocks have absolutely jumped in price, almost doubled, I think. It's crazy.
And fuel blocks, at least high-sec fuel blocks, I believe.
Well, not doubled, that's an exaggeration.
Yeah, but they've gone up by about 5,000. A shot the last time I looked.
Yeah, so that's about
22,000 to 27,000. That kind of,
yeah.
But it's significant. It's a 20% increase, actually 25% increase. But yeah, I do know that there is speculation going on with minerals, partially because I'm one of the people doing it. So
you dirty dog.
It's small scale. I've only got how much? About 25 billion in Mexilon.
Small scale.
As some speculation goes, that's relatively small scale. The downside is I can't offload at the moment, because if I tried to, I would fill all the buy orders which are in the forge at the moment and still have stuff left over. That's one of the downsides to this. So I'm not hugely liquid at the moment.
So I guess we talked about how like scarcity is a big thing, and how maybe cost isn't the best way to regulate, you know, how many caps people have, because people will find a way to make ISK if they want it. But one of the other kind of interesting changes that somebody else pointed out, I didn't really think about this initially, that I think is kind of another factor that a lot of people are missing, is the portability of the new items that go into battleships and capitals, right? So with minerals, or I guess not with minerals, but with ore, right? You can compress everything and you can transport it essentially anywhere. So if you're a small scale nullsec group, all you need is an ASBEL, and you can export all your compressed minerals and your BPCs. You drop them in your ASBEL and you can build capitals. You just reprocess like at the site you're traveling to, right? And that greatly reduces the M3 that you need to move. But with the new changes, you have PI, which isn't compressible. You have Moon Goo and those byproducts, which I think are also not compressible. Maybe Steve, correct, you can tell me on that.
Yep,
yeah.
Correct. Yep.
And so now you have two inputs that are large volume, hard to move, right? So I think that the other aspect of these changes is that it's not just a change to the cost, but it's also changed to the logistics to make capital building happen.
Yeah, there's also a lot more time going in. I haven't done the math here. Someone asked me to, and I said no. But you've got to have someone doing the reactions. You've got to have someone doing the PI to actually get the stuff. If you go right from the base, there's a lot more steps involved, and those steps all take time. I don't think they're changing the amount of time it takes to actually do the build. So that's going to get interesting.
Right. So I guess with the, I think that what they've done is cut down the number of components you have to make. So it cuts down time there, but then added time with the new products and the reactions. So I think, yeah, I think you're probably right that it doesn't add time. It just moves the time to different kind of portions of the build.
Except not when you're talking about battleships.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Now I see here, Andy, you made a note that Navy and faction ships are going to be more complicated to build. Do you guys want to touch on that real quick?
Oh, they will be. There's a bunch more stuff that needs to go into those as well. And some of those are drops, which is going to get interesting. So there's another scarcity going on there.
Yeah, so that's actually a good point. Some of these things are going to be drops and not just additional components you build. And my understanding is that those will be released mostly through data site drops. So, which is also kind of an interesting aspect because data sites kind of historically have been worse. Like a lot of people just ignore them because if you find relic sites, they're worth 2 to 3 times more on average. And so having these components in data sites might actually make data sites more lucrative as well. But it does add the aspect that you're going to need a salvaged component, essentially, or, you know, loot from data sites to build these objects. I think the battleship, I believe, has one that's a drop, and I think that all of the Navy issue things have drops that are required.
It'd be interesting to see how CCP regulates the frequency of those drops.
It's stuff like, I believe, the LM composite molecular condenser, which you need for one of the components.
Yeah, I think that's right. That I'm going to trust you on that one, because I've looked at kind of what's changing generally, but I haven't really dug down for kind of the same reason. I just haven't had a ton of time to look at all the specific parts. But there's also, I think, kind of the other things I'd point out, too, is like from a not necessarily a player's perspective, but from a CCP perspective, there's kind of some nuance in that each race has kind of a racial component now for things that are faction level. So like Brudix Navy issue has a specific item that's specific to their Galente kind of race, and each race is like that. And it's the same with Capitals, where previously that wasn't actually the case. All Capitals took the same components, same input. And so there's a little bit of balancing they can do on that side as well with pirate and faction ships, where they can balance them both as a whole class of pirate and faction because of the new inputs and the drop, like tune the amount of drop they have for those components. But they can also tune them on a race by race basis because they have these slightly different components. I'm not sure if it's just a different blueprint, though, or if it actually has different inputs for the different races. I think it might just be that you have a specific component for each and it might be the same input. But regardless, you can definitely, like on the CCP side, they can definitely tune, you know, Navy and pirate battleships based on solely the drops that go into those that no longer, they kind of separate them from like the T1 battleships that we have now.
Yep. It's drops which go into reactions, which go into a component.
Oof. Easier to understand, everybody. Well, that's certainly going to be interesting. I don't know. Yeah. Steve, what do you think about the time scale for speculation versus the new normal? Do you think we'll get a sense of how these changes are actually going to affect the real day-to-day market in 3 months, 6 months? What time frame do you usually look at for a change of this scale?
For a change of this scale, I would say 6 months. However, they have been putting in some talk about the scarcity rebalancing happening. There's some mention of that in that dev blog as well. So that's happening as well, which is going to change everything all over again. So it might well be longer than that.
Wild. Well, I'll tell you what's not wild, everybody. The big war between goons and test. It has ground basically to a halt. There have been some battles. Nothing like super conclusive, though. I'd say both sides are keeping their powder dry for now. You've seen Initiative and Bastion continue burning structures in the Legacy backline. Test is continuing to hit structures, but nothing like in the real juicy 1DQ jewel. I think they have killed a Keepstar, but Imperium has also defended other Keepstars. So there's still a bit of back and forth going. Both sides seem to be skirmishing right now. With all these industry changes going on, it could very well be that they're waiting to see how things shake out or where they really commit their expensive stuff. But on the other hand, maybe the time to do it is now before all these changes really take effect, because who knows, things could get even more expensive down the line if scarcity happens again. We shall see, and we shall keep you updated. That said, things have been interesting on the Noir front. We've had multiple contracts over the past 2 weeks. Lave, take it away.
So, not once and less than our laurels, we picked up a total of 2 contracts since we last spoke. The first was a high-sec defense against an organization that were reinforcing some structures. We were brought in fairly early in all of this. It seemed they only reached out to us with good time. And our, if you like, form up to defend the structures turned out to be uncontested. I think a combination of our presence and I think some pretty good time zone tanking by the structures itself meant that it was in a time zone for which the attackers had a reduced presence. So I don't think they really wanted to go on with that. That being said, our war deck with that target is actually still ongoing right now. So they are more than welcome to prove me wrong at some point in time.
Well, they actually paid for the extension, so one would think they'd try, but they haven't yet.
Yeah, so let's see what happens. I mean, I think we've seen them a few times, tangled them once or twice itself, but right now I think both sides have pretty much, by and large, ignored each other to a point.
Yeah, I think we killed their CEO in a worm, and that was pretty much the highlight of the fighting so far. Like, yeah, there really hasn't been a lot of interaction between the sides. It's been a lot of staring at each other. They have, like, Agrestis on the Amar Undock and stuff like that, but nothing serious.
Yep. The second contract was a structure save in LOSEC. We were brought into this at fairly short notice. I remember from the posting to the fleet was less than 24 hours, which was a bit of a scramble. And this was to save a structure that had already been pushed into the armor timer. Our form for the armor time was fairly low, just due to numbers, I think, on the timing of it. So, and not for brought a sacrilege fleet with logistics, which we initially had hoped to kind of blobs on some kind of small stragglers, but that was way too big for us. Bomber's Bar did drop onto them, actually, and take off a couple of, I think, trade fairly poorly on it. But ultimately, we kind of gave up that time and then formed for the final timer. The final timer, we resurrected 2010 in all of its glory and brought out the Drake Armada, a much better format than last time, and Op 4 did not contest, so the structure was saved.
They did contest, actually. They
a little bit.
It was a little bit. It was like 2 Logi ships and 2 cruisers, I think. Just enough to pause it. They had a lot of dudes next door. I was very curious as to why they kept gate camping with like smart bombing battleships and stuff instead of putting those characters to actually attack the thing that they did. And they took the time to reinforce it. Why wouldn't you follow up? But it was a pretty easy fight. We had a large Drake fleet, large for our standards, and, you know, 2 Omens and 2 Exekers. Not really going to stand against that.
Yeah. So ultimately it was a nice to kind of knock out 2 contracts in quick succession. And we remain available for more.
Yeah, it was interesting to me, too, because it's one of the few low-sec contracts we've had in a long time. Like, usually we get a decent number of, like, high-sec contracts, a good number of null-sec, decent number of wormhole contracts. But, like, the low-sec contracts seem kind of few and far between.
Well, we'll get more of them, considering the recent mining changes. Like, the whole reason we got hired for this is that was a mining Athanor, and people wanted to get in on the new low-sec ores.
Not just that as well. I mean, given that the structures have all changed to now drop cores, I would have thought that they would have at least just formed and took it. So they might have shot it with 2 Exekkers and 2 Omens, but I didn't count that as them turning up. Because, I mean, they showed us a fairly decent comp on the armor timer.
It really did. That was a nice, strong, I'd say 12 to 15 person SAC fleet with logistics support. It looked like a real badass fleet. And they had the numbers for it. They just didn't put them on field. I don't know if we got spotted or if they just got the timer wrong or what the deal was there. It was weird. We definitely expected that big fight.
Well, job was done and the contract was fulfilled.
Yep, and we've got another low-set contract coming tomorrow, which we'll tell you about on the next show.
Oh, Alec, you tease.
Speaking of next show stuff, we've got kind of a big announcement. The 9UI Freeport is shutting down. Details on all that is going to be on the next show. All I'll say for now is, you know, we've been running it for a couple of years. It's been Nora's home off contract for a while now. It's always been my dream to do it. But it doesn't make sense to keep doing it for a couple reasons, like I said, which we'll get into the next show. Wanted to make sure that anyone that listens to the podcast and has stuff there, you know, you're going to have to contact the new owners to get it out. And hopefully they will be accommodating. But yeah, it kind of had to happen suddenly, and we'll get into all the reasons why on the next one. In the meantime, post highlights. Mine's pretty straightforward, but also awesome. You people out there may have heard about the big Titan fight in Amamake between Wrecking Crew and Snuff. It didn't go Wrecking Crew's way. They tried to attack the Amamake Keepstar. Snuff responded with overwhelming force. They had as many Titans and supercarriers as Wrecking Crew had Dreads. It was really insane. But we didn't know that, of course, at first, and I got to jump a carrier in, and it was a lot of fun. It's just a shame that, you know, so many Wrecking Crew dudes lost their Titans. It's just kind of unfortunate. But in the moment fighting, I didn't really get a sense of how the battle was going. It was just following targets just best as I could because everything was happening really fast. And it was exciting. You know, I got on a couple big kill mails, Leviathan and the Galdari Shield Super, I forget what it's called.
Wyvern,
yeah. So I got a Leviathan and a Wyvern kill, which is great. I haven't been on a lot of Titan kill mills, so that was a lot of fun. And I managed to get it out alive, which is even more surprising.
Yeah, there's like 50-some Hicks on grid, so anything getting out was kind of amazing.
Yeah, I tried shooting the Hicks. I guess I shouldn't be because it was in patch notes, but really just struck me how little damage the carriers do to cruisers, destroyers, etc. It's really paltry. It's like slapping them with tissues. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I imagine if there's enough carriers hitting them, it's different. But I had more success going after larger targets and using my anti-aircraft fighters to kill, like, other fighters, carriers, or super carrier heavy bombers, that kind of thing. Andy, what about you?
Well, I also brought out a big boy, but it was not on the same scale as Alex. I went on a roam with some of our court mates and friends in a Brutix not too long ago and actually had a blast. So like 90% of the time I fly frigates, usually like interceptor for a gang and that kind of thing. And that's what I really like, but decided to change it up and fly some DPS and actually came out alive on two different fights, one of which we were outnumbered 2-1 and did not trade particularly well. We lost a lot of people, but somehow, even though I was like one of the biggest ships on grid, I survived, came out with a couple kills, and then was able to find a fight later that I also came out positive on. So I just had a really good time roaming with some of the nano guys as well as some other blues, and had fun just changing it up and playing a different role.
Lave?
Yep. So interestingly, on the day of the Drake fleet, it was my birthday, so I got to have the great honor of flying a Drake fleet from 2010 as I gained another year on this earth. But it's been I can't remember how many years now I've actually been in Noir and off, but it's testament to just how much this corp has left its mark on me that I still can keep coming back for more.
Like three different people remarked about Drake Fleet in the local, like, oh my god, I haven't seen a big Drake Fleet in forever. Steve, what have you been up to?
I have started the Discord. You can find the link on my website. But it's mostly there because as I run a partner site, through the CCP partner program. They gave me skins to give away. They've been kind of building up because, well, when you run a website, how do you give away skins? It's not the easiest one. So I have a Discord and I'm doing it there. All you have to do is be on it and react in a channel, and I'm doing it daily. So,
yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, we've got extra skins. I haven't figured out a good good way to give them out either. A few people have gotten them, but, you know, it's... I don't really have a public Discord for the show, and I'm not really... I don't really think we're really there yet. So it's one of those things, you know. I'm sure we'll come up with some stuff. We'll run events and things like that over time. And they'll get out there, you guys. But if you have any suggestions or ideas out there, please let me know. I'd be very interested. And before we move on, I do want to talk about our audience's predictions for the 1DQ invasion. 65% of our audience believe that Pappy will mount a series of invasion in 1DQ before the end of the year. The converse of that is over one-third of the audience does not believe they will do that before year's end. Gosh, I really hope we're not waiting 8 to 12 months before 1DQ happens.
The thing is, it's equally possible, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
They have such massive super blobs that will crash the server. No one wants to go all in, do they?
Man, I get it. And it's going to take some prep work. Like, I imagine they're going to want to take out the Sino Jammer and all that kind of stuff. So there will be a war over Sov before there's a war over the Citadels themselves. It'll probably be a while. But I think, my personal opinion, I think before the end of the year is reasonable. I wouldn't be totally shocked if it doesn't happen till next year, but I think it will happen this year. As far as shout-outs, I want to give shout-outs to Aros Porcelaus. You can check him out on one of our previous shows. He and Feyral have been putting out just some incredible small gang battles. Like, if you check the battle reports, they're fighting incredible odds, killing just ridiculous amounts of stuff. they've been fantastic tag team. So I just want to give a shout-out to those two. And to the folks that have been flying with them in those battles, keep it up. It looks amazing. Hopefully I get the chance to join in soon. Andy?
Yeah, I just wanted to give my shout out to all the active members in Noir right now. It's been a little bit of a chaotic week for us, which again, like, we won't really talk about too much, but a lot of things happening and everyone's just been super supportive, had each other's backs, and just been like really good team players. And so I really appreciate it and want to give a shout out to all those people.
My shout out goes to Eve Scout. Having recently found myself more in use of Thyr, I'm constantly in awe of just how much of a quality of life that thing is and people who maintain it. So you guys are the bee's knees of Thyr.
The bee's knees. Yeah, I got to give plus ones to Eve Scout too. They've been so good. Like, it's crazy how useful that website is. I just start, anytime I have a destination that's more than 10 jumps away, I check their website to see if it's cheaper to go through Thera. All right, fellas, that's it. Head to declarationsofwar.com for this show's poll. A reminder, and I'm usually leaving this to the end of the show is probably not the best because I'm sure not everyone's listening to it, but we are looking for more people. We are really trying to grow this alliance. We're about to do a really cool new phase of our alliance, I think. It's something that I think this audience will really want to get in on. Reach out to us. CafeNoir.ingame. You can always check out our websites as well. And wherever you are, wherever you're flying with, good hunting.